Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I know that most people thought I was incapable of preaching two sermons in one day, but we're gonna do that. All right. We were coming back from a visitation Thursday evening, Chase and I, and we were somewhere, I think, around Seabury, and he said, "Hey, who's preaching Sunday night?" And I said, me. And I had forgot to talk to anybody about that. And as they say, the buck stops here. All right. I do appreciate y'all being here tonight. If you will, go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. And we're going to get started tonight. James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 2 through 8 as we start tonight. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I do not believe that at this time James was smoking anything but Jesus, all right? But this is what the Holy Spirit inspired, all right? "For you know that when your faith is tested," everybody say tested, "your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask your generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone." Everybody say faith. "Do not waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do." Now, I think for most of us, if we've been in the game very long at all, we've probably read the book of James, and this is probably a pretty good familiar passage of scripture for us tonight. But I want to draw your attention back to verse 6 as we begin this evening. "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea and is blown and tossed by the wind." How many have ever been in that moment where your faith was tested? All right. King James says, "But but let him ask in faith, not wavering." How many know sometimes it is hard to go to the Lord with faith that is not wavering when we're being tested, right? We say that's, you know, we say that's what we should do. That's what the Word of God directs us to do. But it's kind of hard to do when the very thing that attaches you to God is kind of being strained at that moment. And so sometimes we have those issues, if you will. But he says, ask in faith, not wavering. And again, Wednesday, if I kind of can go back to that for just a moment. Wednesday night, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10. And one of those verses that we read was verse 19. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." And how many knows that we know that tonight? Hopefully we know that. If you don't know that, you know that now. But even knowing that, and that we can come boldly before him, sometimes when our faith is tested, we kind of begin to feel maybe a little of instability. We begin to feel just a little bit off balance or off kilter. And so we need to know what to do in those moments, all right? Knowing that we have the ability to come boldly before God should cause our faith in him to be driven, and it should become even more steadfast. But how many know sometimes we need to remember those things? All right. We don't always feel them in the moment, but tonight we have to remember the truth that we find in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, where because of Christ's blood, we can boldly enter into the throne room of God, even in the midst of a test. even in the midst of a trial or a temptation. How many knows there is no exceptions, limitations, or exemptions when it comes to boldly entering into his presence? Amen? We can do that at any moment and at any time for anything. You see, it should birth within us a confidence that is greater than any opposition, greater than any amount of trial or temptation that we may face. Our faith should produce a balanced devotion that is settled in Christ Jesus. And how many knows those things probably tonight are easier to preach and maybe even easier to hear than to always put into application, giving the test or the trial or the temptation that we may be faced with. You see, the truth is that we don't need any more faith today than what we had on the day when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. You see, in fact, when the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, he basically told them, you don't need more faith, you just need to begin using the faith that's already in you. He said, it's not a matter of increasing it. He said, it's just a matter of using it. He said, because if you have faith the size of just a mustard seed, he said, you can tell this thing to be uprooted and moved, and it will do so. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? In my car right now, I've got a little vial. It's about this big, and it's got about 7 or 8 seeds in it, and they still don't fill up that little bitty vial, all right? And he says, if that faith that you use, if you will just muster just that little bit up, he said, that's going to be enough to get done what needs to be done. Romans 12:3 again tells us that God has already given or dealt everyone a measure of faith or a determined amount or an extent of faith. So tonight, I believe that there is within our God-given spiritual DNA an amount of faith, and that amount of faith is enough for us to basically encounter any test or trial and opposition in life. We just have to know when to put that faith to work or to our advantage for the moment of that test. You see, our responsibility is to stand in faith, and not just any faith, but the faith that has already been given to us and placed inside of us or measured to us by God himself. So will there be people? Will there be places? Will there be situations and seasons and so much more that will begin to challenge our faith at certain times and attempt to maybe shake our faith, if you will, and try to cause us to become fearful or doubtful or full of worry or unbalanced in our faith? Absolutely. Those moments are going to come. If we took a survey tonight, even with the smaller group of us who are here tonight, and we begin to really just be open and discuss those things, I would be willing to bet that each of us tonight are facing some test in our life or have just come through a test. And sadly, for some of us, we're like, no, I'm doing good. Well, you might be getting ready to enter into a test. All right? We're generally in one of those three particular phases. You see, tonight, what we need to remember is this, that our faith will be tested. At some point, it's going to be tested. And when you get through that test and you pass that test, there's going to be a determined amount of time. And then you're going to, again, be tested. I talked with a young lady one time in my office, and she basically came in and said, I finally passed my test. I feel like I've been released. I've had a breakthrough. God is so good. And I'm like, that is so awesome. And I said, you know why we go through tests? And she's like, why? I said, so we can be strengthened for the next test. She said, what? I said, yeah, I said, God uses tests to build our faith, to strengthen us so that when we come to that next test, we have the stability within our life to be in the fortitude, you know. And she's like, wait, hold on. You mean I have to do this again? And I thought she was kidding at first, but she wasn't. She thought she had finally gotten her test passed and got a breakthrough, and it was done. It was over. But how many knows those things come in seasons and in waves, amen? It's not that we get to pass. Wouldn't that be awesome? We just been like, yeah, I passed my test. But how many knows if there was one test to be passed, we would pass that test, and I believe the Lord would take us home, all right? But tonight, we know that there are multiple tests. So we know that our faith will be tested, but that isn't an excuse for us to waver in our faith. Knowing that we will be tested is not an excuse or a justification for us to say, well, you know what, then I'm going to let this rock my world, or I'm going to let this get me a little off kilter or imbalanced in my life. You see, to waver means to fluctuate or to be undetermined. And I think we've all been there at one point or another, depending on the test that was maybe at our front door. You see, when we waver, we're unstable, we're unsure, we're unfocused. And how many knows if our concept of our faith at that time is those things, how many knows we become imbalanced very quickly? And we lose proper perspective of not only who God is, but who we are in him. You see, if we're off balance, bouncing from side to side through life, how many knows that that doesn't produce any form of stability? How many knows that for Christ, in the middle of that storm, when the disciples were all freaking out, he was doing what? He was sleeping in the boat. Why? Because his faith, even during the test, was in his heavenly Father. He knew who he was, and he knew who his Father was, and he knew who he was in him, all right? And so we have to keep those same things in mind. Now, this puts our faith, again, wavering puts our faith in a place of confusion, which ultimately, all right, restricts and even cripples its power and ability to work in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to do something or get to a position in my understanding to where I am crippling myself. How many knows we have a lot of things working against us already? All right? And we don't need to be one of those things. Here, James says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And again, how in the world is that even possible? How can these things that test our faith, that oppose our faith, that give us these elements of heartache and hurt and things of that nature, how can they possibly be an element of great joy? How can we find great joy in something that, in all regards, just simply puts our faith to the test? Well, James 1, 4 and 5 says, I'm sorry, 3 and 4 says this. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Again, when we look at these things, we can find great joy in them because we know what they're stirring up in us isn't defeat. It's not discouragement. What it's stirring up within us is the power, and power that will be able to help us endure all things. He goes on in verse 4 and says, and then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty cool that even in the midst of a test, even in the midst of opposition, a temptation, God can bring us to a greater place of perfection in our spiritual life than when we were first tested. I mean, that's pretty cool to know that God does that in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? You see, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. What would our faith really be if we never had any test? What would we at that point really consider our faith? Would it hold any merit? Would it have any true value? You see, for something to really have a value, for something to really be of a legitimacy in our life, how many knows those things have to be tested? You see, we won't take a product that hasn't been tested, will we? We want to know if we're buying a product that product has been tested and that the testing shows that it is a good product, that it's a valuable product. So we know tonight that faith cannot be tested. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. So we need to, again, with great joy, embrace these moments because, again, they're moments that can become spiritual maturity, learning opportunities, all right? They're moments that can and cause endurance and cause us strength and growth in our spiritual lives. You see, again, testing, it refines us. Testing develops us. Testing, it strengthens us, and testing proves our authenticity. How many tonight want to be tested? Yeah, I didn't think anybody was going to raise their hand. You see, tests of our faith can be joyful in that they become the building blocks of our faith, developing us into stronger, more mature, and effective Christians. And how many know that that is the goal? The goal is to move from glory to glory to glory to glory, right? We don't ever want to remain the same. We don't ever want to remain unchanged or untransformed past that initial counter of salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, God doesn't devise trials or temptations to try and trip us up, but he does, however, I think, use them to build us up if we will allow him. How many knows that's when he begins to take all those things and work them to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? Even the most disastrous test against our faith, he says, hey, if you'll just hang on, if you'll walk through, if you'll see the value, if you'll keep your joy through this process, I guarantee you that when you come out on the other side of it, I'm going to use this for good. Now, it's hard to see that when you're in the middle of the storm and it feels like you're sinking and drowning and the world is crashing in on you. But again, how many knows that he who promised is faithful? Amen? And he's going to follow through on his word. You see, again, testing produces spiritual endurance. Spiritual endurance creates spiritual growth. And spiritual growth begins to release perfection, if you will, all right? And perfection is the process of filling in what is missing or lacking. I don't know about you tonight, but I've still got some stuff missing. I've still got some stuff lacking. And so I know that I need to keep on this journey. I know that I need to keep allowing my faith to be tested. And through those tests, I need to look for those things that can bring great joy through them and understand that God has a greater purpose at all times through these things. You see, when we wait on him, what was incomplete becomes complete. And if we really think about it, we can know that those moments happen. Why do we continue to trust him? Why do we continue to put our faith in him? Because there's a track record that says at some point, that which was lacking in my life was made complete. At one point, there was something that was open-ended, but then he said, no, here's the final note on this. And he wraps it all up in this nice little package. And again, he works it for our good. You see, that which we lacked or were in short of, it becomes full, it becomes complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Does that mean that we're absolutely made perfect? No, I don't think we're going to reach that until we see him face to face in heaven itself. But how many wants to try? Amen? We need to be willing to strive and try and to obtain that element of perfection through Jesus Christ. I think that is why it is important for us today to remember that we have all been dealt a measure of faith. You haven't been shorthanded by God. And it doesn't matter where you have been or what you've gone through. In the very initial creating of who you were, when he made sure that your soul was being quickened to life, he put inside of you the amount of faith that you would need we just have to exercise our faith. We have to activate that faith that he has given us. And while we all have the same right and privilege to approach God boldly through the blood of Jesus Christ, we will all undoubtedly at some point have our faith tested to the degree that it would attempt to cause us to begin to waver. And I believe that is why, again, it is so important for us to stay connected to Christ, as we talked about this morning, to have that intimate relationship with him, to have a faith that is growing and maturing and not in its own abilities or by its own merits, but an ability that comes strictly by just being connected to him, by being connected to his word, by allowing the Holy Spirit to come and move and breathe in us. You see, I used this next thought some time ago, and the Lord kind of reminded me of it this week, and really he took me kind of right to it, and it was that our faith should be impervious. Everybody say impervious. All right, I know that's not a common word, and if I remember so, the first time I preached it, I had no idea what it meant and had to look it up before I could preach. Okay. But impervious basically has three core definitions. It means not permitting passage, incapable of being injured or impaired, incapable of being influenced, persuaded, or affected. You see, it's basically this. It's faith that won't allow the opposition and testing to have passage into our hearts and into our minds, giving the devil an unnecessary foothold inside of our hearts. It's faith that is so balanced, so devoted, so settled in their connection with Christ and so settled in their connection with the word and through prayer that it can't be injured or impaired by the testing process. It's faith that is so enduring and in tune with the Holy Spirit that it is is incapable of being influenced or persuaded or affected by this world or anything that the world may try to throw our way. You see, it's faith that just says, basically, I know who my God is, and I know that because he is who he is, my faith is indestructible. Now, we can't say that necessarily in and of ourselves, but because of who he is, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the word declares that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? We can be pressed, but as Paul said, we can't be made pressed out of measure, all right? Because again, what is inside of us is exerting more power than that which is trying to press against us from the outside. And so we have to understand tonight that we have that very ability. We have that ability to have a faith in Christ that is so impervious that nothing can bring it down tonight. You see, does impervious faith really exist? Can it exist in our life? I would tell you tonight, yes. All right. I would say yes if we choose to ask in faith, not wavering, as we find in James. Yes, if we engraft his word upon our hearts. Yes, if we bow our knees to pray and intercede, not only for ourselves, but for others. Yes, if we focus our hearts towards God. It is a plausible thing to live in and to experience. You see, yes, if we abide in him and he abides in us. Instead of being driven by the testing or being driven by the opposition that's set against us, we need to start being driven by our faith, our God-given DNA that says he is who he says that he is. Amen? Because how many know in life we are driven by something? It may be that we're driven by fear. It may be that we're driven by worry or doubt. It may be that we're driven by a particular relationship or something. But what better to be driven by than by our faith in an almighty, holy, sovereign God who has no limitations and who said, hey, look, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. What better place and what better way to let our life be driven than driven by a faith in him? Wednesday night, again, we had a engaged in some strategic prayer, if you will, towards the end of service. And as service was kind of coming to a close, there was a word of knowledge that was given to the church body. And I don't want to repeat that whole thing tonight, but I want to basically sum up what God reminded us of in that moment. And basically, he reminded us of this, that his anointing is already inside of us and that we just need to live in that anointing. His anointing is already inside of us. That faith, it's already inside of us. We just need to live in that anointing power. 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 and 27 says this, I have written these things about those who are attempting to lead you astray. But the wonderful anointing you have received from God is so much greater than their deception and now lives in you. There's no need for anyone to keep teaching you. His anointing teaches you all that you need to know, for it will lead you into truth, not a counterfeit. So just as the anointing has taught you, remain in him. And that word, again, remain there, is that same word that we have found this morning. It's abide. And that word abide here means to remain rooted in him, knit to him by the Holy Spirit who we have received from him. How many knows this morning, again, we need to stay connected and our connection point to Christ is through the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that he is that anointing power at work in our lives, how many knows it is greater than anything that we can come against this morning? Now, I want to clear something up just in case there's somebody that caught a certain particular phrase in that scripture. It doesn't really have anything to do with my sermon, but I felt like it needed to be explained before I moved on. So here's a side note. Look at your neighbor and say, side note. Everybody's going, wait, don't do a side note. Just finish, Pastor John. But I really need to do the side note, all right? Because there's a portion in that scripture that says, there's no need for anyone to keep teaching you. All right, but I need to explain that. All right, again, given the context of the scripture, John is not telling those that he is writing to, or even telling us today, the not to continue to be taught the word of God. For God, again, as the word declares, all right, has placed teachers in the church to instruct and equip us and to bring us into the fullness of Christ. All right, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, even Hebrews. There's scriptures and passages that tell us very strictly that they're there for that purpose, all right? John's warning concerns those who were trying to lead other people astray by false doctrine of men, all right, not of the word of God. And so the bride of Christ will always need the Holy Spirit-filled teachers to illuminate us in those ways of Christ, all right? So I want to kind of get that out. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, all right? But you can't give up, and you can still be taught, all right? You just have to have a willingness to be teachable, right? Look at your neighbor and say, be teachable. All right, now back to where we were, all right? What we need to remember in all of this is that the anointing which we have already received and is actively living in us even right now in this very moment that we're sitting in this sanctuary tonight, all right? It is greater than those things that would begin to oppose or test our faith. Now, I understand that in the midst of that storm, in the midst of that battle, in the midst of that opposition, that thing coming against you may seem like it is bigger, badder, and better than God. But I can tell you right now, if you will hang on, there's nothing bigger, badder, and better than God. Amen? And so we just have to understand that when those tests come, that it is for our benefit and that God is going to see us through and work it for our very good. So don't be driven by the opposition. Don't be driven by the test. If we're going to be, again, driven by anything, let's be driven by impervious faith. Faith knowing that we are blood-bought, anointed, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you don't have to settle for anything less than that. The enemy may try to tell you that you are less than that or that you don't have all of that. But can I tell you today, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit's already living in you. Amen? And God has chosen you. You are His son. You are His daughter today. And so we need to just sometimes remind the enemy and remind ourselves that we have that faith that is necessary to meet this test, to meet this opposition. And when it's all said and done, we're going to be better for it than when we began. If you would stand with me tonight. Verse 7 tells us that person who wavers in their faith cannot and will not receive anything from the Lord. So an additional benefit to facing the test and allowing yourself to begin to work in that element of having impervious faith is that puts us in a category to receive. Because when we don't believe, when we don't operate in faith, basically, God says, I can't help you in that moment. I can't help you if you're going to choose to believe that I'm unable to help you. You see, verse 8 goes on to say that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Again, if our heart and our mind are not going to be focused on Him and believing that He is the author and finisher of our faith, again, the creator and completer, we're going to have a hard time with that test of faith or that opposition or whatever it may be pressing against us. So if we want to receive from God, we've got to get our minds right. We've got to understand who we are and who He is, and again, who we are in Him. You see, if you want impervious faith, we have to stand our ground. No matter what it looks like, no matter how much it hurts. How many know sometimes to do good things, you have to do hard things? So we just got to learn to stand our ground in those moments. Stay intimately connected to Christ. Boldly approach the throne of God. Don't go to God like some whipped puppy, like some kind of stepchild, because He doesn't see you as any of that tonight. When He sees you, He sees the blood of Christ. He sees your adoption paper signed in that blood. What He sees is a joint heir with His risen Son, Jesus Christ. He sees a member of His family. How many are thankful there's no stepchildren in the kingdom of God? We're all joint heirs. You see, if you want impervious faith, use the faith that God has already measured to you. Don't leave it dormant. Don't leave it in a position of wavering to where it's unbalanced and it's fluctuating in your life. You see, live in the anointing that God has already placed inside of you. It's already there. We just have to put those things into action tonight. Father, I thank you that you have made a way through everything. God, even the worst test of faith, God, even the worst battle, God, through the darkest moments of opposition or trial or temptation, God, you have given us a stability through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, you have given us the ability to walk through those things with impervious faith. Faith that is unrelenting, God. Faith that is indestructible. God, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is and what he has done through his work on the cross and through his resurrection from the grave. So God, help us to understand that tonight. God, help us to not be divided. Help us to not be unsettled. God, help us to not waver. But God, help us to simply understand that, God, we can boldly come before you at any time and be sure that knowing that our faith is in you and you alone, that, God, you can handle anything that we bring you. And that, God, when it's all said and done, even if we can't see it, understand it, or begin to even comprehend it, God, you will work it for the good. Father, speak to our hearts, I pray tonight. Lord, don't let us leave defeated. God, even if we're in the middle of a test right now, God, don't let us give any excuses, but God, let us just exclusively give you praise as we go through this test, knowing that you are faithful, and God, you're gonna bring everything to completion in your time, according to your purpose and your will. Father, I thank you for it tonight in Christ's name. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, I would be remiss to not extend an opportunity for you to come and surrender your heart to Christ. Or again, maybe if you've just felt like you're in a position you need to rededicate your life to Christ, we want you to do that tonight. But maybe tonight you're just, again, maybe you're in the middle of a test, you just came out of a test, and you just need to remind yourself of who you are in him and what he has made available to you. I want us to just take a moment tonight and do that. So as they play, as they sing tonight, let's just take a moment and make sure that our faith is not wavering, that our faith is settled in who he is, regardless of the test that we might be facing. If you need prayer of agreement for anything in your body, your life, your family, a situation, we want you to come forward tonight. Let us pray and agree that God's gonna do a miracle work in that. But as they play tonight, if that's you, we want you to come forward tonight.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.